Well, good morning, everyone. We're going to have our Bible reading now, which this week is taken from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 to the end. I'm going to ask Sarah to come up and read it for us.
I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to the paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults and in hardship, in persecutions and in difficulty. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Sarah. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Adam. I'm one of the pastors here at Caution Baptist Church, and it's great to be here with you this morning. At the moment, in Rob's absence, we are continuing with one-off sermons. And we will continue with one-off sermons up until the 31st of March, and then we're going to start a new series. And that new series is going to be led by Eddie Larkman, and it will be a series in John's Gospel. Following that, from May to July, the preaching will go through the book of Philippians, from the start of Philippians right through to the end. So worth keeping that in mind, worth having a look at those books if you are interested in where we're going. Why don't we pray together? Father God, thank you so much for bringing us each of us here this morning. We pray now, Father, as we look at your word, as we look at this passage, you would speak to us. You would speak to our hearts, you would speak to our spirits, Father. Show us what you want us to see and how this applies to our lives. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I was driving towards Chippenham, and the tyre pressure warning light came on in my car, so I turned it off. I carried on driving down the road for a bit, and the warning light came on again. So I pulled into Sainsbury's petrol station on the Bath Road and I put pressure in my car tyres, and then I waited for a bit and the pressure warning light came on again. Now, I don't know what you would think about in that moment, but I automatically think to myself, have I got time for this? Have I got time to fix my tyres? Have I got time to go and get a replacement, go and get it checked? Now, some of you will be thinking this morning, well, why don't you just put tyre foam in it? Well, I could do that, but I had a really bad experience with putting tyre foam in my tyre. So I thought what I'll do, actually, is I'll find a local tyre shop. So out comes my phone, out comes Google. Tyre repair shops. Oh, great, there's one around the corner, which many of you might know. So I thought I would pull in there with my car and get in the queue, which I did. And I started chatting to the garage owner. And it was a really good conversation until I was tapped on the shoulder. And I turned around, and there was another customer there, and he wanted to say to me, you would not have any future tyre pressure issues if you got alloy wheels instead of those steel wheels on your car. All right, as I'm listening. He then proceeded to tell me that if I got a car like his, Jaguar F-Pace, compared to my... It's good you're laughing, because I didn't know what that was until I looked it up. Compared it to a Honda Jazz, I wouldn't have tyre pressure issues. He wanted to tell me about his knowledge of cars. He wanted to tell me his opinions and his life experience about all the different cars that he's had in his life. You think he wasn't interested in anything I wanted to say on the matter at all. Whether he was right or wrong, it didn't matter to him. One word came to my mind: arrogance. Arrogance. Everything about the man's conversation to me was about arrogance. My car is better than yours, jazz pace. My life experience is better, more extensive than yours. You need to learn about me from cars, and I'm here to teach you. Arrogance. And I wondered to myself, did he know that he was being arrogant in that moment? Did he know he was being arrogant? Surely he must have. But then everything he said, you makes you think, no, he didn't have any idea what he was saying. Now, arrogance. I don't know what you think about arrogance. You know, arrogance is one of those trigger words, isn't it? If you think someone's being arrogant, that automatically can wind you up, can get your back up. Do you know any arrogant people? A few people nodding their heads. Can you think of those arrogant people in your head now? Oh, hold on a second. What about me? What about us? Can we be accused of being arrogant? I think you agree with me that actually we can be accused of being arrogant in our lives, can't we? I mean, most people like to boast of their strengths. Most of us like to say things that will impress other people. And that can be by bragging about our knowledge about something, or it can be name-dropping. I know this person. Or by saying something that will make other people feel a little bit envious. I would say we're all guilty at some point in our lives of being arrogant. And in our passage today, I want us to focus on Paul's words in verses 7 to 10, particularly of this chapter, chapter 12, in his second letter to the Corinthians. Please keep your Bibles open if you've got a church Bible or your own Bible or an app in front of you. What we see in this letter is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, has seen some amazing revelations about God. He has had experiences of heaven and eternity shown to him. He's seen things that no other person in the world has ever seen before. And this means that Paul has lots of reasons to boast and lots of reasons to be arrogant. And yet we see if we dig down or we focus in verse 7, there is a huge danger. Can I have the next slide, please, Rania? Oh, sorry, that's my car, the next one. A danger, there is a huge danger. Have a look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassing great revelations about heaven, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Can you see here that Paul is saying, in other words, because of the amazing, incredible revelations that God has showed me, and so that I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my own limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down, and what he did, in fact, was push me down to my knees. See, Paul's statement here is probably the most honest and truthful, transparent and vulnerable admission that any servant of Jesus Christ could ever make. Can you believe that Paul would admit that he could become big-headed or arrogant? This is the Apostle Paul we're talking about here, who planted many churches, who led many people to Jesus. How many Christians do you know who could admit to a weakness like that? That God has put a thorn in your flesh to keep you from being big-headed. How many of us could admit that because of our pride and our arrogance sometimes that we need God to put a thorn in our flesh to stop us being arrogant, to keep us humble? Many of us are far too proud to admit that we're full of pride and that we need to be humbled. And I'm talking to Christians this morning, and I'm speaking to non-Christians. We all get puffed up with pride. We all get puffed up with arrogance. Paul had a danger of being puffed up with pride for everything he'd seen. And he says that God put a thorn in his flesh to stop him becoming big-headed. Now, what does the word thorn mean? Could I have the next slide, please? Now, Paul is using the thorn as a metaphor. On the screen, if you can see that, is a thorn that I picked up on a walk around Neston last week, because this passage was in my mind and I wanted to really, you know, get to grips with it. So I plucked off this tiny, little, the smallest thorn I could find and put it on my hand. What are you like when you get a splinter in your hand or your arm or your leg or wherever? It's annoying, isn't it? You just can't get rid of it. Actually, you think, oh, I'll just ignore that. Again, I haven't got time to deal with that. But yet the splinter won't let you forget it's there. It irritates. It stings. It's annoying. And the word thorn in the Bible here is from the Greek word that means splinter, thorn, stake, or barb, that is like the end of a fish hook. Have I got a fish hook there somewhere? Doesn't matter if I haven't. Okay, thanks. No, that's fine. Okay, so a fish hook. If you know what a fish hook's like, it's very sharp and it's got a barb on the end. If you ever get a fish hook in your finger and then try and pull it out, well, I looked up some photos, but I thought I'd spare you this morning. Paul says he was given a thorn in the flesh to stop him becoming big-headed. Paul says it was driven right into his flesh. And by flesh, Paul means our fallen human nature. Try to ignore the thorn and it keeps hurting. It keeps irritating. It keeps stinging. It needs to be taken out as soon as possible with tweezers or a needle or something else. But Paul says he was given a thorn in the flesh to stop him from becoming big-headed, and it was given to him by God. I really want to emphasize that this morning. It was given to him by God. God inflicted Paul with this thorn. It was painful. It hurt. It seemed as though it was there to stay as long as Paul needed it. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that in this description that Paul gives us, there could be a range of ideas as to what his thorn was. He doesn't actually tell us. If you read these passages, he doesn't tell us what it is. He doesn't go into specifics, and I think he does that on purpose. And actually, I think that's a blessing. Because he doesn't go into it on purpose and tell us exactly what it means, it's a blessing because it makes the text applicable to Christians throughout the centuries. Everyone can identify with the pain that Paul describes. We've all got thorns, I think, in our flesh. And they're all caused by different reasons. So the thorn is a metaphor. We don't know what Paul's thorn was. It could have been physical. It could have been psychological. It could have been the opposition he encountered through persecution from the Jews, which we read in the other letters. But what we do know is that whatever its cause, it was given as a gift to Paul from God. Why? Why was it given to him? Well, we've already said a specific person. It's got a specific purpose. Paul received his thorn to keep him from becoming conceited or arrogant. The revelations that Paul had from God could have led easily to spiritual pride. It could have led to him thinking he was a better Christian than everyone else. It could have led him to think that he was a super Christian, a super apostle. But the benefits of this thorn in the flesh are of a pin pricking a balloon, bursting your bubble, a nail puncturing the tire of a car, or your pride, of bringing down to size what might otherwise be an inflated ego. And I think that's true of much of the suffering that we go through in this life. You see, at the time when we're suffering, we just can't see why we're going through it. We can't see that God has got an ultimate, bigger purpose in the suffering that we're going through. God has a positive purpose, I believe, in every bit of suffering we go through. Nothing is wasted with our God. I want you to think of a thorn maybe as in a different way. Maybe as a compensatory puncture from God. Now, some people get compensation in this life because they've been deprived of something. Or they've been injured. You take out an insurance policy and you get compensation from that insurance policy to take it up. And that's what the thorn in the flesh is, but completely the other way around to what we think it's for. It's because God has been so good that we need to be compensated negatively. He's been so kind and generous that otherwise it would go straight to our heads. Therefore, to puncture your pride, God compensates you with a thorn. The thorn in the flesh is there to make up a deficiency in us. It's to make us more like Christ. It's to make us more humble, like God's Son, the humble servant Jesus. God says, I want you to be more like Jesus, and I have blessed you by stopping you from getting big-headed. If we're totally honest this morning, we know God has been good to us. We've been singing this morning how good God has been to us. And if he didn't send a thorn in the flesh to compensate, who knows what would be like we would be like. Now, I want to say to you this morning that some of you will be sitting in here this morning and know exactly the thorn that God has given you. But I want you to try and think this morning, what would you have been like if you hadn't received that thorn? What would your life be like if you continued on a path of arrogance, a way of doing everything you want to do, not serving other people? What would your life have been like in that instance? I think left to my own devices, I would be lacking in empathy. I'd be lacking in compassion for other people. I'd be lacking in mercy for others. God teaches us so many things in our lives, doesn't he? And sometimes our flesh fights against those things. We don't want to believe it, that that's actually happening for a reason. And that is exactly why a thorn is needed, to stop us in our tracks, to stop us in the ungodly ways we are heading, to stop us on the course that is taking us down into ever-increasing ungodliness and unchristlikeness. Now, I want to say as well that thorns in the flesh, I believe from looking at this passage, do not include every trial and difficulty we go through. God uses all our trials and difficulties. But this thorn is a crushing blow, so definite and lasting that it's the only way we could recognize this thing going on in our lives. It's the only way to explain this thing going on. It's not the same for every person. What may be your thorn may not be mine. For some, your thorn may be a handicap or a disability. It could be a chronic illness that you have. It could be an unhappy employment or lack of employment. It could be an enemy that attacks you constantly. The thorn could be loneliness, a sexual misgiving, an unhappy marriage. The list is endless. The thorn may be recognizable to you but unseen by other people. You see, God may inflict you with something that strips you of your self-esteem. It may be completely unrecognizable to anyone else. It may be embarrassing. The point of a thorn is that we don't go around and tell everyone what it is. That would be totally missing the point of the thorn. The thorn you may have prevents others from praising you in a way that otherwise they would have done. Now, here at CBC, we've been making plans to take the gospel out into the community. We've got plans to take it out into Neston. We've got plans to take it into Rudlow. We've got plans to take it everywhere we know Christ is unknown. And is it possible that to keep us humble as a church and to make us rely more on Jesus, God might have given the leadership team and the church family thorns in their flesh? I think that might be possible. Again, our flesh resists that. We don't want to see that, do we? But Paul's encouragement is that he has proved in his own experience that God knows exactly what he's doing. In all his ways, he is good. He is wise. He is fruitful. And he will never cause his children a needless tear. Paul says in verse 7 that this thorn is a messenger of Satan. From Scripture, we know Paul frequently experienced satanic attacks and resistance when he took the ministry of Jesus out, when he took the gospel out to plant new churches. Just in the chapter before that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul lists out all the things that he's been through. This is his list, very quickly. Paul has been in 3 shipwrecks, including one involving a night and a day adrift on the open sea. He was imprisoned and repeatedly flogged and beaten. He'd been in danger from rivers and robbers, as well as from Jews, Gentiles, and false Christians. He knew many cold and sleepless nights and hungry and thirsty days. On top of it all, he was constantly anxious for all the churches he had planted. You see, Paul knew that Satan had been given power to make his ministry and his life challenging. Satan, or the devil, causes pain and suffering to all of us. And the Bible says that Satan has been allowed by God to roam the earth, and he has been allowed for now to cause pain and suffering. Now, for a moment, you need to get your head around that. Satan is allowed by God to cause us pain and suffering. You may be familiar with the account in the book of Job, in Job chapter 2, when some angels and Satan come and speak to God. And Satan says, well, points out Job as a God-fearing man and says, you know, God, if you take away everything that he's got, he will curse you to your face. And God says to Satan, very well then, Job is in your hands, but you must spare his life. You see, Satan was allowed by God to cause suffering to Job. Satan wants to break us. Satan wants to strip us away from our faith in God. Satan wants us to doubt God's goodness. But the overall purpose of God is not to gain pleasure from seeing his people suffer or to break them. What Satan means for evil, God means for good. And so God uses Satan and God uses evil spirits to get his purposes and his ultimate goals. See, God wants us to shape our characters to be more like Jesus. And so God can use anything to do that. He is not limited because he is sovereign over everything. Evil spirits from Satan wants to cause us ultimate harm and ultimate destruction, but God will not allow that to happen. Next, the effects of the thorn. Paul prayed for the Lord to remove his thorn. I think if our weaknesses and our sufferings had no other purpose to encourage us to turn to God in prayer, then it has been worth it. You see, God wants us to depend on him, not ourselves. We all learn to pray best when we're going through a difficult time of suffering. Because suffering does and should make us cry out to our God in prayer. God is our creator, and suffering should push us into his loving arms, not in the opposite direction. It should make us more dependent on our loving and our caring God. And it is, of course, right that we pray for healing. Paul referred to the gift of healing in his first letter to the Corinthians, and in James's gospel account, we see that he gives specific instructions to church elders on how to pray for healing, how to lay hands on people, how to encourage people to confess their sins and be anointed with oil. But Paul demonstrates in this passage that there is a time when there won't be healing in the way that we want it to be. Verse 8 to 9 shows us that Paul prayed to God. Three times he pleaded with God to take away this thorn. Now, I know some of you will be sitting here this morning, you'll know what your thorn in the flesh is, and you'll be thinking to yourself, I have pleaded with God more than three times. I have pleaded with God hundreds of times to remove this thorn from my flesh. Pleading with God is a desperate conversation, isn't it? When you know what your thorn is, and it hurts so much, and it causes all sorts of pain in your life, you just want it removed. And so you plead with God, and Paul was pleading with God, and God answered. God answered, but not in the way that Paul probably would have wanted. Can you see that in the text? God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Paul's pleading was not answered in the way he expected. God says to Paul, I'm not going to take this thorn away. But instead, I will give you my grace to bear with it. In other words, God is saying, I will give you my strength to bear with your thorn. My strength is the power of the Holy Spirit to use the thorn for your good. Now, if we go back to the illustration of the thorn in my hand, if I had been in Neston and got that thorn and dug it into my flesh, I could easily say to God, I can't get this thorn out of my hand, God. Please, can you remove it? Please, please, can you remove it? Okay, I did that for a joke. Can you please remove it now? God says, no. It needs to stay where it is in your hand. But I will give you my strength to bear with that every day. I will give you my Holy Spirit, which will help you use that thorn for my good purposes for you. And so I look at my hand and I think, what good purposes can come out of that thorn in my hand? I wonder what you make of that this morning. I wonder what you make of your illness and your suffering when you're going through it. You see, in certain churches, there's a belief that God's plan is for everyone to be healthy and happy. And that if healing doesn't happen in answer to prayer, then that person's lacking in faith. I think that's really destructive. Because if you see the passage here, you see that this is completely against Paul's experience. Paul had great faith. He was a church leader, and yet God did not heal him. The thorn didn't kill Paul, but caused him great pain. Paul's prayers were clearly answered by God. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is shown to be perfect in your weaknesses. What we often want to hear is that we are strong in our own strength and abilities as humans. We get into false thinking that God exists to affirm my leadership position or my faith. God exists to back up my strength and my abilities. That is completely wrong. Completely wrong. You see, when humans try to rely on their own strength and abilities, we consciously or subconsciously ignore God. We push God to the side. We rely on our own strength. And you know there are thousands of people in our local community who don't want to hear about God today because they're relying on their own strength and abilities. They're relying on their own wealth and intellect. And sometimes it's easy for us to say, well, those people don't want to know God, but I know about God. You see, that can arrogance can even seep into that. You see, we live in a society as Christians where we're encouraged to thrive in every area of life that we can. We want to thrive in our relationships, in our jobs, in our hobbies, in our Christian service, in our worship of Him. But God wants us to completely change the way we think about ourselves and our service. So think of the thorn Paul had and So think of the thorn that Paul had in this way. God gives the thorns to keep us from glorifying ourselves before Him. Let me say that again. God gives us thorns to keep us from glorifying ourselves before God in all areas of our lives. God gives us thorns to stop us thinking we can live our lives relying on ourselves, our own strength and our achievements instead of Him. Imagine your life if there was no pain or struggle. What would your life be like? Would you still come here on a Sunday morning to worship God? If there was no pain, no struggle, no difficulties that you went through? I think we'd like to think we would still come here, but I'm not sure we all would. So what is the result of this thorn? What is the result of this thorn? Paul realized that God's purpose was not to take him down with this thorn, but to transform him. God poured out his all-sufficient grace onto Paul by using this thorn. God says, and we can never get tired of saying that, can we? My power is made perfect in your weakness. We have a choice. We can allow the weaknesses that God has given us to be an excuse for ducking out of demanding and costly Christian service. We can use it as an excuse to sin more, to rebel against God. Well, God doesn't care about me, so I'm just going to sin. That's choice number one. Or choice number two, we can use our weaknesses as an occasion for serving God with new strength, a strength not from our own making and not the way we normally think. In verse 9, Paul declares, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is a breakthrough moment for Paul. That is a breakthrough moment for us. Can we look at our weaknesses and our illnesses and our suffering and think that actually God is giving us that for a purpose? For a perfect purpose that completes his will and brings him glory. Can you see the shift in thinking there? It's totally different to how the world thinks. Our thorns, instead of disadvantages, are advantages because they make us more like Jesus in his weakness and in his power. That is when God can use us, when we have a complete change of mindset. See, Jesus' power came through his servant-heartedness. Jesus was humble and submitted in perfect obedience to his Father God. God's power doesn't come to us from dramatic or spectacular experiences. It comes to us by his Son, by being like Jesus. That is why, for Christ's sake, Paul says, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. I'm going to read that again. That is why, for Jesus' sake, I can delight in my weaknesses. I can delight in my insults I receive. I can delight in the hardships I get. I can delight in the persecutions. I can delight in the difficulties. Because when I am weak, I am strong in Christ. I wonder if it surprises you this morning that even the Apostle Paul needed a thorn in his flesh. Let me remind you that Paul was not Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think a lot of Christians think that the Apostle Paul was only marginally below the level of Jesus. But yet we read in his own words that he was a sinner saved by grace. As great as any and worse than many. You see, Paul wasn't joking in Ephesians where he said he was less than the least of all of God's people. Paul wasn't making it up when he said, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And if you're honest this morning, I think you'll be able to say that is true of yourself. We are all sinful people, saved by the blood of Jesus. And by believing in Jesus, we're all receivers of God's grace and his mercy. God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Instead, he forgives our sins and he loves us. He welcomes us into his family. Can you see this morning that when we're weak as Christians, we are strong because God's power is at work in us? That is why, as a church family, in insults we receive from others, we can take it. In hardships we go through, we can take it. In persecutions we suffer, we can take it. In difficulties that hurt us, we can take it. Because when we're weak, God is working through us by his power. These are profound realizations. And it wouldn't surprise me if you need to go away, listen to this sermon again, read the passage over again, and keep preaching the gospel to yourself. As I come to a close in the sermon, I want to take an illustration of what could be a thorn in the flesh. There are many ways that God can choose to get our attention. I want to use the example of chronic illness, because I know many people here this morning in the church family have a chronic illness. Many of you can identify with this. Now, we know that Paul had a chronic illness himself because in his letter to the Galatians, he mentioned that he came to the Galatians because of his illness. And many Christians have more than one thorn in the flesh, but often there is one that preoccupies everything. Now, illness, I'm not an expert, I'm not a medical expert, can be temporary or chronic. And in either case, it's a thorn and it hurts. Illness can be short-term or long-term. And in both cases, it hurts. Firstly, we need to know that God has allowed this to happen to us. God has allowed this illness to happen to you. You may say, I have prayed to be healed more than 3 times and he hasn't healed me. Well, that may be a clear indication that God doesn't want to heal you yet. God is more than able to heal you. but God may choose not to heal you at the moment. You might assume that your chronic illness is God's way of getting your attention. The purpose of the thorn in the flesh is to keep us humble. We all need something to keep us humble. Could your chronic illness be God's way of keeping you humble? Could it be God's way of keeping you humble in a way that he couldn't have got to you before? Now, there are countless examples of Christians that God has used through their illnesses to increase the spread of the gospel throughout the world. Having a chronic illness or any type of thorn in the flesh allows us to empathize with others who are suffering and struggling. It helps us to speak into people's lives who are suffering in a similar way to us, with the message and the hope of the gospel. Through your chronic illness, God may put you in places, appointments, mixing with different people who otherwise you never would have met before. And how can God use you for his service in those times? See, God can use us in events, situations, relationships, and places that make us actually say, I'm glad I've got this illness, because otherwise I would never have been able to do that. You see, God helps us to completely change the way we think about chronic illness. New church ministries are often born out of someone's pain, suffering, or chronic illnesses. We now have a bereavement ministry because that's born out of people's pain. God will use you in his service because of your illness, not despite of your illness. Now, you may think to yourself, well, you know, I come to church, but I could never stand at the front of church. I could never get up on this stage and speak in front of people. I could never lead worship. And that's true, I could never lead worship. God may make you into one of the greatest prayer intercessors in history. You may have such a ministry of praying for people that in heaven no one knew you on earth. You could be at the front of the queue to get God's well done, my good and faithful servant. Because God sees everything we do. It doesn't matter if other people don't see what you do. Through our chronic illness, we can reflect God's glory, his goodness, his loving kindness towards others, his encouragement to others. You see, God can use us. And you're sitting here this morning thinking, what, even me? Yes, is the answer to that question. The most insignificant person whom no one has any time for, God wants to welcome you into his family and into his service. Let me ask you this morning, what is it going to make for you to listen to God and be humble? What is it going to make for you to stop in your tracks, to start listening to God, and be humble? Now, when you get your thorn in the flesh, and by the way, I wouldn't ask you to pray to get a thorn in the flesh. That's not a good idea. But when we do get thorns in the flesh, Satan will exploit it. He will accuse. He will make you blame God, and he'll make you blame yourself. And all you have to do to fight Satan off is confess your sins and walk in the light of Jesus. We must point to the blood of Jesus and say, God, you have let this happen to me. Please keep me humble. Please change my perspective. But because you have done this, Lord, help me to become more like Christ. We all need something to keep us humble. In your case, it might look much different from chronic illness. And I'm sorry we don't have time to go through what other thorns there could be. We need a complete change of perspective. We need to focus on Jesus. We need to reflect his glory to all those people we meet. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scripture, especially in 2 Corinthians, Father, we looked at this morning. Thank you for not telling us what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Thank you, Father, that this passage has blessed Christians throughout the centuries and continues to bless us today. We thank you that you're sovereign over everything, even Satan. Please help us to come before you in humility. Please help us to confess our sins of pride and arrogance. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away. Please use us for your service and help us to accept whatever you do to keep us humble, to make us more like your Son, Jesus. For his name we pray. Amen.